Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke. The city of Milwaukee is accumulating symbols of sustainability, like the wind turbine sweeping the sky near Lake Michigan, the electric vehicle charging stations being installed around town, and incentive programs underway to encourage businesses and homeowners to create less waste and conserve more energy. Now the city's Office of Sustainability has thrown itself, along with a volunteer committee called the Green Team, into a comprehensive citywide sustainability planning process. Over the coming weeks, the group is hosting community input sessions around town to learn residents' concerns and perspectives on the complicated topic. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bent stopped in at a gathering earlier this summer. Before we hear what a smattering of residents think about sustainability, Bent sat down with Green Team member Marsha Caton Campbell. As an urban planner and interim executive director of the Center for Resilient Cities, Caton Campbell brings a community food systems planning perspective to the sustainability planning table.
The idea that a food system needs to be equitable and just, as well as economically viable and environmentally sound, is really important. People need to be able to access food that is culturally appropriate, that's nutritious, that's affordable, in dignified ways. Those ways can be many, but that's a really important part of resilience. It's an important part of the work I do here at Resilient Cities, and it's actually an important part of what I'm bringing to the Green Team.
It's an amazing evolution in the way a city like Milwaukee, that's so old and has its traditions, is really coming to a new era.
Well, it's a new era, and it's a lot of returning to things that we used to know and do, growing food in our backyards, growing food in larger community spaces. The Victory Garden concept, for example, is not a new one. It's a great one. It's not a new one, but it's very important as we look at issues of sustainability and resilience of cities in the face of rising oil prices and rising food prices associated with rising oil prices. We also know that the food system is a broken system in many, many ways. It functions well from the standpoint of appearing to put a lot of food on grocery store shelves, but when you unpack the picture that has 14 different boxes of cereal on a shelf, you quickly learn that we're not talking about very many producers. We are not talking about very many different seeds in the gene pool anymore. And so there are a lot of things that contribute to the lack of resilience of the food system, which then means that cities are less resilient than most people realize. And then we, straight up have issues all around the country, regardless of income level, of diet-related disease, obesity, hypertension, metabolic syndrome, and those cut across all income levels. But there are populations that have a harder time accessing healthy food sources than others, whether it's because those food sources aren't in their communities or the food is priced at a level that is unaffordable, or because people lack transportation to get to food sources. So all of that is an important piece of the resilience picture from an access perspective. The food system also contributes over a third of the waste that winds up in landfills, and it is a significant source of economic energy in regions, particularly in southeastern Wisconsin, which has a lot of food manufacturers based in the region, and in Wisconsin, which is an agricultural state. So we have a lot of reasons for wanting to care about it and think about it in the context of the Green Team's work.
You'll be moving out to the community and, from the sounds of it, having lots of public input. Do you think it's tricky folding in the input of conceivably a lot of people from throughout the community?
I hope we get a lot of different perspectives. I think that one of the key roles that Green Team members can play is in helping to engage the communities in which they work. A number of us come from different nonprofits in different parts of the city. That sector can be really valuable in bringing voices to the table and in making sure that the Green Team goes to where the voices are, where people want to be heard, and who may not know about this process, but will have many ideas about it, many thoughts about how it should go and what they need most from their city if it's going to be sustainable.
A few weeks later, Marsha Caton Campbell is not among the Green Team members I find in the Abuzz with Conversation meeting room at the Urban Ecology Center's home base on the city's east side. And at least for Milwaukee resident John Lattice, food systems are not top of mind.
I've been a very green architecture advocate for years. My home is as green as I can be. I'm still learning. Of course, vegetated roofing is high on my list. Other things, I mean, just everything. You know, composting is big. Transportation, you know, more biking, more bike lanes, recycling. I used to work for a nonprofit that helped contractors recycle construction waste, so that's very big. Solar, you know, I'm looking to do some solar hot water on my house, photovoltaic if I can afford it. Wind, I would love to do wind, but I live in Bayview, so the neighbors might not like that. But I'll work on it.
Richard Ippolito thinks Schaefer is wasting his breath. He's advocating that the city's green team think geothermal.
I am absolutely 100% for, because it's under the ground. You just drill down there and you have it. You know, why the wind power, why the solar power, why anything else, when all you have to do is dig down?
As you would expect, among the crowd there are those who embrace urban agriculture as a cornerstone of sustainability.
My name is Joel Codd. I'm a resident of River West. I spend quite a bit of time working in the urban gardens. We have the largest one, I think it's the largest in Milwaukee. It has 132 raised beds, and it's on north, just off of North Ave in Kilburn Park. Just this last year, I've been really involved in projects with that. There's a lot of groups that are, you know, really working hard and pushing toward it. So it's just a matter of time. You know, as more people get on the bandwagon, as momentum picks up, it'll happen.
Jane Moore wouldn't describe herself as a disciple of sustainability. She lives nearby, received a couple of emails about the community input gathering, and decided to check it out.
Well, I wasn't really sure what it was about when I came, but
Moore found out she does have opinions to share.
Parks, maintaining the parks, and then also with community gardens. Once they're established, I'd like to see them remain and not where somebody, you know, spends years putting in the mulch and building up the soil quality, and then it's like, oh, no, we're going to build a condo. Boop, there's your garden, because that's happened to a lot of people I know. And I just like the more, we got enough condos. I just want to see more green areas, you know.
The retired MPS school teacher hopes the sustainability plan doesn't end up like so many brainstorming sessions, a lot of talk that goes nowhere. Dave Mangan says he has a vested interest in not letting that happen. He works with a small local nonprofit that matches small crews composed of high school students in projects focusing on food, jobs, and water. Mangan believes it's a model to help build, you guessed it, sustainability.
I'm a little bit biased with our organization, but I really think that there's a great opportunity to have a win-win situation between the needs of our educational system and a lot of the environmental and social needs of the communities. So if you could get students out working for a credit or through working apprenticeships to take on some of the community-based projects that that some of the neighborhoods need. They could be water harvesting projects with rain gardens or swale gardens. Could be habitat renovation, or it could be community gardens. But getting students tied to their communities and tied to their environments, improving their habitats and kind of building up their own resumes, I think it would be a win for the community and the students themselves.
Mangan hopes the city will take its bandwagon to neighborhoods across the city. He plans to monitor the Green Team's progress online and where his own suggestions go. The city plans to unveil a draft early in 2013. That will signal another opportunity for Milwaukee residents to weigh in on what sustainability means to them. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
Susan Bentz is WUWM's environmental reporter. The City of Milwaukee's Green Team holds a public input meeting on its sustainability plan this evening at the Urban Ecology Center in Washington Park. Keep listening. A former news executive shares some of what she's learned about what makes a good boss. That story is next on Lake Effect from WUWM.